All right. So I had actually started a sermon months back, and getting closer to this, God just kept, what was he doing? He was like pinching me to say, Haley, I know that you've taken that time for that message, but I'm going to shift it because there's something else that this group needs more. And so I know, especially after all the messages that have just happened, I know that this is what God has for us. Kristen even just said earlier, she said in the morning when she wakes up, that, and I kind of changed it a bit, but she says to God, what do you want to say to me today? And that's kind of what God was tugging on me. No, I'm telling you, this is what they need. This is what I want you to give them. And so really what he's done with this is he's told me that so many of you come to church or you go to your churches and you come to this conference and, you know, you do things for God, but you don't know how much he loves you. You don't know how much he cares about you. And like we said last night, some people are even blaming God for things. And if you really knew your Father, you wouldn't be thinking that way. And so, you know, I don't know who that is out here, but just really lean in and let God speak to you tonight. Because he loves you so much that his Son died on a cross for you, right? And he can fix anything with you if you'll just open up your heart. So let's pray before we open. Thank you, Father. Father, I do thank you so much. And Father, I thank you that you gave me the opportunity to even study this out and to get closer to you in that journey. But Father, I pray that every single woman that you were specifically talking about, Father, I pray that their hearts will be open right now. Father, you've got something for all of us. I know that. But there's some particular people that you want to really help them to get this grounded in their heart. And Father, I just pray that there's no distractions, that ears are open, hearts are open, because Father, you truly, truly have a deep love for every single one of us. And so Father, I thank you. I thank you, Father, that what comes out of my mouth would be coming out of your heart. I love you so much, Father, and I thank you for this opportunity tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, when God started speaking to me about this, I've got this chair that I sit in every morning at home, and we've got a fireplace by it that we've never never put anything in it. Oh, there's a rhino in there, I think. But I sit in this chair every morning, and when he was talking to me a couple weeks back, and he said this, that there were some women that they just don't know how much he loves you. And I just started weeping, kind of like the first verse that we did yesterday. Jesus wept, and I just sat there for 10 minutes weeping for you. And so again, I really do. I trust that you'll have your ears and your hearts open today. He loves us so much that he sent his Son to die for us. And that alone to me, how could we not believe his love for us after he sent his Son to the cross? All of us live out of our deepest beliefs. Whatever you're believing in your heart is how you behave. That's just a true statement. In the Bible, it talks about our heart with that. It's beliefs about ourselves, beliefs about others, and beliefs about how God sees us. And again, I can tell you right now, how he sees you is a beautiful daughter. A beautiful daughter that he wants to help grow, that he wants to help you understand more about your life, more about the yucky stuff in your life. And he wants to help you to grow out of that stuff so that you can move on to bigger things to help this world. Because when we're not loving ourselves, there's really not much we can do for others. And it's very selfish, right? And God needs us. We are the church. We're the church, and we are the ones that are supposed to be out there giving to others. But there's a lot of brokenness in the church. Thankfully, God has opinions about you from His Word, but sometimes they're hard to accept because you know something you've done or how you feel or what you've said. And so you don't believe Him that He still loves you in the midst of that. All of us have been given opinions and accepted ideas about who we are. Typically, that's more family members that do that. And sometimes friends do. But there are some things that people said to you, and it's like you just haven't gotten over it. And then there's other things that make you feel really happy, but then sometimes we can get in pride for that too. So we got to be careful on both ends of those. You've had experiences and interactions with family and non-family that give these opinions of you. Those of you who have come to Rhema, and we actually did Search for Significance? Oh, Walker and I did a series on that. But those of you who have heard that before, you probably are a little bit ahead of it. But even that, I have met so many Rhema graduates that are still holding on to the yuck in their life instead of giving it to God. And what this is about, it's about the false beliefs that get inside of us that stifle our growth. Okay? In other words, it's all about our identity. Because most of our behavior that we do, it's how we identify with ourselves. And if we're not seeing ourselves the way God sees us, it gets us in trouble. Okay? And I'm going to tell you again, He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. Indicators of false beliefs are feeling stuck, feeling confused, feeling uncontrolled to an unhealthy degree by your strong feelings and emotions. And I didn't even put that in there because of the other one. That's the truth. The most powerful question you can ask yourself is, what will I do about this? What am I going to do about it? And this one question cuts through all the false beliefs and creates clarity. It moves us to action, and it's in action that we can discover the truth of who God is towards us. Amen? And I'm going to be doing some of this, but this is the key thing that really motivated you where you possibly are right now, is your upbringing. Your upbringing, how you were brought up in your home. And your upbringing in your early years can profoundly affect how you connect with God and what you believe about God. And that's a little scary for some of you. And for some of you, it might even take going back to that tonight when I'm talking to you, even the ugly places, but God wants to do something for you. So maybe for just a second, just tell yourself, I'm going to be courageous tonight and I'm going to lean into this. And if you even if you don't know the person next to you, grab their hand if you need to. I mean, just whatever you need to do. But God wants to help you tonight. Our first instinct is to reach out for connection when we're born. We cry hoping someone will soothe us. If our parents responded with love and care enough of the time, it creates a secure attachment between us and our parents. Notice I didn't say just mom. Men aren't here to hear this, but it's about two people and two people raising a child, two people making a child, right? A baby, I guess, first. If our parents responded with love and care enough of the time, it creates a secure attachment. When this works right, we cement a belief that if we need connection and closeness, all we need to do is call out or cry, right? And then when the baby cries, we know that they need something. Now, there's also this has nothing to do with this, but there's also the weaning them off of all that, right? But it's not at the beginning. It's later, like in 3-4 months. Otherwise, you're enabling them to cry anytime they want to. Okay? That's for another day. Unfortunately, not all of us had this experience, and some parents struggle to respond to their children in the ways that they need. If you grew up in a home like this, you likely realized early on that creating that emotional connection was not as straightforward as simply calling out. Something really cool that my sister and her husband did. So her husband's a doctor still today. And when Amy gave birth to her son, and it happened with her daughter later. So at night when Benjamin would cry, Dad got out of bed. Dad went and picked up Benjamin out of the crib. Yes, it's a long time ago for me. Picked him up out of the crib. I think before he got up and he turned Amy on her one side. Then he got Benjamin and then he put Benjamin on her breast. This is truth. She never woke up. And then Benjamin was finished with that side and he pushes his wife over the other way and does it on the other side. For real. And part of it was because he was working these very long hours and he didn't get to have time with Benjamin. And he thought, this is something that I can do to be close. And then he put him to burp. Okay? Isn't that neat? I think it's awesome. Walker didn't do that for me, but my son didn't latch for months and months. For real, he didn't latch for months. And then finally happened. He was born in America, and then we flew to South Africa, and I think he was all mixed up, you know. All right. Psalms 22:9-10 says, Yet you, speaking about God, you brought me safely from my mother's womb and led me to trust you at my mother's breast. I was thrust into your arms at my birth. You have been my God from the moment I was born. And you know, when you came out of your mom's womb and God's looking down on you, He's loving you so much. Oh, here's another child. Here's another one. So He's already in love with you as soon as you come out of mom. What if this parent-child love was messed up? It's likely that trusting God as a father gets tainted. Because the way God planned it all is that our parents are supposed to be examples of our Heavenly Father God, and they're supposed to lead us to God by their actions, by their words. I said this last night, but when I was 7 and I got saved, and I grew up in a Methodist church, but then we shifted over. I grew up in the Methodist church, but then on a Monday night, I would go to the Baptist church for something called Girls in Action. So it was a little thing for girls. And so when I went there, it was one night they were showing a film on missions in Africa. And that's the night I got saved. And I went home and I said to my mom, you said I wrote it down even, which I don't know, I don't remember that. But she said, I came home that night and I said, hey, Mom, I gave my life to Jesus. And when I grow up, I'm going to go be a missionary in Africa. Okay, but when I gave my life to God that night, and this is what I said last night, I really did understand it. I did. And at home, we would do devotions from time to time, like on I don't even remember what day it was, Sunday, Friday, something as a family. We do stuff like that. And as we got older, it was going away more because we weren't home as much. But from the very beginning, I knew that I was to obey my mom and dad, and to obey God. And I really got it. In Rhema, I talk so much about this too. I remember being 6 years old, and Dad sat me and my sister down, because we were the older ones, and he decided that we needed to learn about tithing. 6 years old. And we needed to learn about tithing. And so he gave us 10 cents, which is equal to a dollar of American money, okay? And he taught us about we give 10% to the church. So we would take our dime. Mom's shaking her head. We take our dime to church every week. It's probably less than an ingwe for now. I don't know. But he taught us about that. And I've literally been tithing since I was 6 years old. Why? Because I had some parents that were showing us the Bible way and God's way of how to do things. Now, did I grow up in a perfect home? Not at all. Right? Not perfect. Oh, she's, I don't know. What do you think, Mom? No. It wasn't perfect, okay? But I really did grow up really knowing our Heavenly Father. But some of you didn't. Okay? And here's the other thing. Even as Christians, we can still raise our kids very wrong. And why? When we've been talking about this throughout all this. Culture trumps God's word too often. And if you're a person doing that right now, and like someone said today, maybe it was you, Kasande, there's great culture. There's some great culture in Zambia that I love and that I do. But if it's not in the Word of God, you've got to rip it away from you, never to do it again, no matter what anybody else thinks. You're a grown-up. Act like one and say no. Right? Does the Word come before culture? Zambian, like we've got a culture at Miracle Life, too, that's separate from a Zambian culture. It's a MLFC culture that our staff do. Okay? But do y'all hear that? But it's got, our culture has to be in agreement. So what we're doing has to be in agreement with the Word of God. Otherwise, we get messed up. So there's lies from the enemy. Lies from the enemy. Some lies have come from important people. And because they have a big title before their name, you just believe it. That's not healthy again. Okay? Parents, friends, teachers told you some things that you've got in your brain today. You know, I taught your sister last year, and boy, she is so much better than you are. And so that teacher, what they said to you for years and years and years, you're still thinking that you're awful and your sister is this. And your sister has nothing to do with it, by the way. It's that teacher that should not have said that to you. But your parents should have also taught you to not believe things like that. Okay? Getting attention and affection through promiscuity. You're so desperate to be loved by someone that you give them your body. You should have learned about that at home, that we don't do that. Come hell or high water, you don't do that. That's not the time for it. And it messes with your life. Let's go a little bit further. But let's say you did do that and you did get pregnant. And well, now mom and dad have to deal with that and still love you like we talked about last night. But don't do it. Just don't do it. Again, I think I said that last night too. Don't do it. Number three, you find that life is tough, but drinking and enjoying living the nightlife can be really fun and utterly destructive. It's fun for a moment, but then it goes to other things. And again, if you got a family or dad, mom drinks, comes home late at night, they're drunk as a skunk, and that's what you grew up seeing, too often that becomes you. It becomes you. Is anybody identifying some stuff from just upbringing? Number four, believing that happiness can be bought with a big salary. You buy things and experiences that never fill the void of your heart. And then there's sins and failures that will be with you all the time. Okay? Okay, so y'all need to look at this from two positions. Because either you are still a child in the home right now, and you are still, your parents are still over you, right? Or you are a grown-up that's not doing this stuff right with your children. Or you're a grown-up that grew up in a yucky home and you've still got some really bad habits that are deep inside of you that need to get changed. Okay? So can y'all identify with that one of those? Or a couple of them for some of you even. In order to believe God's truth, you have to let go of the lies that you have in your head and in your heart. And you cannot accept a gift in your hand if your hand is full of rocks. Do y'all remember that sermon years ago too? I was thinking about that and I was like, yeah, if you're still holding on to stuff, you can't move forward. So you got to drop the rock, like we said a few years ago. 2 Corinthians 6:10 says, now listen to this, ladies. I will be a father to you, and you will be my, I'm going to skip it, you will be my daughters. I'm skipping the sons because you're not sons. And you will be my daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Okay, so you are a daughter of a mom and a dad, or a man and a woman that gave birth to you. You are a daughter of them as well. But you know who the better father is? It's our Heavenly Father. And He calls you His daughter. Because He loves you so much. And you still can have moms and dads. That's fine. But that's what moms and dads are supposed to do, is they're raising us up. And I'm obeying mom and dad. Then I leave home and I don't obey mom and dad anymore. Do y'all know that? We don't obey now. Now we honor them. But if my mom says, hey, you're going to take me out to dinner tonight, I don't have to do that. And it's not dishonoring to tell her no. That's not dishonoring. Here, you know what honoring is, though? My mom loves Africa so much. She hasn't been here for 7 years, 8 years, whatever it was. Dad dies. She's at home. Well, in a place she's got some nice people there. And I thought, you know what would really honor her more than anything else? Is getting her back over to Africa. And I haven't seen her this happy since Dad died. It's not about me, though. It's about her. Okay? And she has so much to give to people. She loves loving on people. I think I got Dad's side of things maybe more than more than that part. Through Jesus, our older brother. Sorry, I need to take water. Through Jesus, our older brother, we have our Father's blessing. And He's bringing many, many, many daughters to glory. Regardless of our age or our background, we all long for a father who is present, strong, dependable, and sturdy. Now, I don't have this in my notes, but especially with young men that I've done a lot of work with some young men, and they didn't have fathers, and so they didn't know how to be a father. I love this. There's a guy named Louis Giglio, and he talks a lot about the relationship with your father. And he didn't have a great father, but he has this whole series. It's probably 20 years old or something, but about how you can have a bypass, you know, because Dad didn't show up, but you can have a bypass to God Himself. And you know that it's tough when you don't have a dad. My dad grew up with his dad until he was 12 years old or 8 years old. 8 years old, I think it was. And then his dad left. And another great, it's not a great memory of my dad. It's a sad one. But when any time we would be watching a show and there was a drunk father in the show, and I didn't know this for years, but he would walk out of the room. And finally, about 3 years later, the last time he walked out of the room, I walked out with him, and he would go to the front porch, and he'd sit down on the front porch, and he'd be crying his eyes out. And he was crying his eyes out because he didn't have his daddy anymore, who he loved so much, but was so dysfunctional. And literally, I mean it, like even when I would still go to their house in Virginia, and they're in their late 70s, he still did it. And I'd go sit out there with him, put my arm around him and let him know how much I love him. And God loves him even more. So you can have a bypass. Some of you, it's mother. Some of you, it's a mother that's, you know, didn't do what she needed to do with you. You can still go to the Father. Okay? Let's see. Some of us have these fathers, others didn't. And just think of this. Did your dad spend time with you? Did your dad spend time with you? Did your dad affirm you and say out loud to you, I love you? I'm 57 years old right now, but last year, so I was 56. Every time I'd talk to dad on the phone or go to the house, every single day, all day long, I love you, I love you, I love you. He did that to you too, Mom. Yeah. And the other kids. Did your dad give you affection and hugs? Proper stuff I'm talking about, right? But did he do that? Did he show affection for you? I don't know if I said this or not, but last time, I can't remember. But my dad had knee surgery probably 8 years ago, even something like that. And my dad couldn't handle any pain. That I did not get from him. He couldn't handle any pain, and so he had gotten my sister to come, since she's a nurse, to help him to kind of not even to rehab, but just to help him get better. And one night, Amy calls me, and I think it was 2 a.m. my time here, and I happened to have my phone on, and I answered, and she says, Haley, I'm sorry I'm having to call you at this hour, but Dad is insisting that I let you know that he might die tonight because he's in so much pain. And he wants you to know I love you. I was like, put the phone on his ear. Dad, I know you love me, and I also know that you are going to live through the night, and you're going to get over this pain. So let's pray right now, you know, whatever. But he was very conscious to always say, I love you. Okay? Did your dad let you know that he was proud of you? That he had faith in you? I hope some of y'all aren't crying, but this is a reality of what a dad's supposed to be doing. Did your dad tell you that you're beautiful? Especially during those awkward years, right? I tell you that, at Rhema, we're changing that one, because I always talk about this with them at Rhema. And I said, when your daughter has started her menstrual cycle and you're moving away from her because that's your custom, I said, this is the time she needs you more than anything else. And there was this guy, and I can't remember if he was in the first class or the second. He's actually a teacher today, and it just blesses me to see him teaching. But I was doing the class on personal growth and development again. And did I say this one last night too? Okay, so he came in after we started doing the character traits that you need. And he said, Pastor Haley, he got down on his knees. And he says, Pastor Haley, I went home last night, and I walked into the kitchen, and my wife was in there cooking dinner. And I said, come over here, honey. And then he got down on his knees in front of her. And he said, I have a big apology to give to you. I didn't know that I could help do things around the house until today at school I learned about that. Because I've only seen men not do that. And he said, so from now on, every night after dinner, I'm going to be washing the dishes for you and for our family. And I'm going to also bring our 13-year-old daughter with me every night to wash the dishes with me so that I can talk to her and tell her how beautiful she is. And I'm sorry you have to go through this process, but it's because that's how you become a woman. And it was so special. And every day he came in that and doing that same thing for everything I taught him. And his wife just kissed him, you know. But he didn't know. See, here's the thing. He didn't know better. And maybe your dad didn't either. Okay? Somebody's calling me. Okay. Did your dad open up about himself? His pains, his faults, his hopes? Or was he the macho man that never had a fault except for when you saw him coming in drunk and didn't know if that happened, right? Did your dad pray with you? Dad prayed with us like every night until I don't even know how old I was. Come into each of our rooms. So sweet. Did your dad give you godly guidance, protection, sense of humor? Did he check out the guy that you're dating? Because y'all don't do that. And who would I want to know who I'm dating more than my father? To see if he agrees. I'm serious. That's a big one, y'all. Again. Did your dad give you... Oh, I said that. Did your dad teach you about life? And then the last one, and we could go on and on, but did your dad believe in you? Did he believe in you? Yeah. So this is what God wanted from your dad to you, but many dads didn't give it. And you still feel raw and vulnerable and longing for that connection with your dad. Because that is the way a dad should have been. It really is, and so much more. You know, did he take you to church on a Sunday morning? Did he say to you, no, you're not going to stay in bed. No, you're not going to do your homework in the morning. We're going to church. We go to church. We're a family that loves Jesus. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. I want you to grow up being a Christian. I want to see you in heaven someday. So if you had that kind of earthly father, though, I'm so happy for you. I don't know how many had that, and I'm just so thankful that I did. But my dad had so many godly qualities, and I'm thankful for. One of my biggest memories, and I'll move away from my dad, and I thought this was the coolest thing ever. It started with my sister, because she's 13 months older than me. But when we turned 13, Dad took us on a date. And it's probably one of the only times I put on a dress when I was little. and so I put on my dress and my shoes. I think, Mom, you might have even bought me a new dress. I don't know. And then we go to the car, and what does he do? He opens the door for me so that I can get in. That's what a man does, right? And these are customary things too, right, this part. And then he drove me 45 minutes away, I think it was, or 30, I don't know, to Austin, Texas, because I lived in a tiny town of 1,000-ish people, and we drove to Austin, Texas to the Magic Time Machine, and we sat and had dinner together that night, and he told me how a guy should treat me when I start dating. Went through everything that he could think about. And it's a night I'll never forget. Mom did that with my brothers. That's a little bit different, but it was good for them. That they needed that in their life, of how they need to treat a lady and how we need to treat a man. So if you had a good dad, that's going to help even more on this journey to discover God as a perfect father. But I also know that many of you didn't have a perfect, and I didn't have a perfect father. I thought he was, so. He did have his things. But if that's your story, we have a big, big God, bigger than you can even imagine, who helps turn bad things for the good. And if it's something that's still messing with your insides, listen, if you'll lean in, God's going to do something tonight with you. But you got to get past this. I remember Walker doing a sermon on this years and years ago, and this grown man in our church, those friends of ours, he's from another country. And I remember him coming up after the service, just tears flooding out of his eyes. And he was probably 45, 50 years old, and he hadn't spoken to his father in 10 years because they had had just a bad experience with each other. And he came up and talked to Walker and myself, and he looked at us and he said, you know what? My dad may have not have done it right, but I'm taking a flight out tomorrow. I told my wife while you were preaching, Pastor Walker, and I'm flying out tomorrow to go home and get this right with him, because I'm not going to let him die thinking that I hate him. Oh, what a good man he was, right, to do that. And he came back very free. It was wonderful. You may have never known your father, but a bigger and better lesson waits for you. There's a Father in heaven who made you and created you for purpose, and he wants to be in your life. He has given his very best for you so that he can call you daughter. It's There's a theologian, I think they'll put this up there. He was also a pastor, A.W. Tozer. Some of you have heard of him. And I love this quote here. He says, what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about you. When it comes to our minds and we think about God, it's that whatever you're thinking about God, it's the most important thing about you. So if you're having these negative thoughts about God, how do you think that's going to affect you? It's not going to do very well. So we've got to change our thinking if that's happening with us. And that, and I'm really, like when I was telling you last night about my cancer journey, and for the truth again, I never, ever thought I would die. Ever. Now, there was one day, I didn't tell you this, there was one day, I just remember, there was one day that I was like, God, I hurt so much today, I'd really rather go to heaven and be with you. I really would. That's how bad I was hurting. And I said, but you know what? I know I can't because you've already shown me some things and so you're not done with me yet. So, all right. But what is it that you think about God when it comes to you? Ask yourself that question right now and be honest about it. Well, why did he let this happen? And why did he let that happen? He doesn't let any bad thing happen. We live in a fallen world where bad things happen. But you never, ever, that's not him. That's not him. So what about you? What comes to your mind? Maybe for you, it's a picture of Jesus who's full of mercy, love, kindness, truth, and grace. Or maybe you've got a picture of an old man up in heaven with a walker, kind and gentle and candy in his pocket that he's handing out to you. I don't know. Or maybe you see a person that's tallying all the things that you do good against all the things that you do bad. Well, this happened because God saw that I just stole money. Well, this happened, but nope, that's not God. That's not God. So let's see how God has revealed himself to us as Father from his word and not our experience on the tradition that was passed on. Okay? And before I get to this, let me just say one more thing. If you were or are brought up in a home where you really didn't get much training or really showing you things that you need to get in life so that when you do become an adult at whatever age you decide it is, that you're not a child living in an adult body. That's what we say at Rhema. Don't be a child in an adult's body. There's too many of that around because the parents didn't put that inside of you. And here's another thing is, and if you can acknowledge that that didn't happen, don't lie about it, but go get help for it. But you're going to have to be honest and not ashamed of yourself. You're going to have to go to someone and say, yeah, you said all that. Well, what do I do now? Yeah, go find someone that you know is pretty capable of stuff. Ask them if they'll mentor you. Anybody in here would do that for someone else? Yeah, yeah. But if you keep pretending, don't go to find a job and on the application you lie and then they think that you can do all this stuff that you can't. And then they fire you later, at least I would. Because I need people who can do what they say they can do, right? So don't do that. Go learn. It's not too late ever to learn. Okay? So, number one, my Father is good, not evil. And I can even say it this way, he is always good. Always good. You don't ever have to question if he's bad because he is always good. Bible verse, Matthew 7:9-11. Or what man is there among you? If his son asks for bread, will he give him a stone? That may have happened to some of y'all too. I've heard some ugly stories. Or, if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Okay? He's a good Father. He will never let you down. Now, you might be let down, but he is not the culprit of it. That either happened from you or from something else, but it's never your Father. So how much more will your Father give good things? Let me ask you all this question if you're a parent. Or you were, maybe you're finished, but do you think that you're a better parent than God? No, we're actually not. We do our best. I hope we do. I hope y'all did. But, you know, now like I was telling you about Jessica last night, no, I didn't get 100% on that. Didn't get that. I messed up many times as well. And it's interesting saying to her, yes, Jess, you're the first girl I've ever had to parent. Had a son, but you're the first girl. I'm learning things too. And I said, and I've never parented a teenager. So you're the one, teenage girl, right? So you're the one that I'm practicing on. Yeah. But let's do our best. Let's see what we can do and let's get help where we need it, right? So God gives us good things. I missed my place here. Okay, how much more our Father? God gives good things, and that definition is not complicated. You don't need a seminary degree to know that good is good. That one you don't need the degree on. God doesn't trick us. He doesn't hurt us by making us eat a stone or harm us with a poisonous snake. He's a good Father. Now again, what I just read, we better not be doing that to their children. Now, my children got spankings. Never used my hand. You don't use your hand. Your hand is for loving. But I used a spatula. That's what we used in our home. That's what I had given to me. And you don't make their bum bleed. And you certainly don't do what I said last night. You don't strip them down and send them outside. And here's the other thing. You always, always, always end with how much you love them. You don't let them walk away until you've said, this is for you to remember not to do it next time. Come talk to me if you're having that thought of doing that. Let's talk it through. But they better know that you love them. Because I tell you what, that's what turns kids wayward. When they don't know that you love them. So, your time, at the end of it, you've got to let them know that you love them. So, anyway, if you need correction on that, then go for it. If you need help, come see me. I'm serious. God doesn't trick us. He doesn't hurt us by making us eat a stone. Okay, illustration. Let's see here. My first response to cancer was not, why God? It wasn't. Never came to my mind. But I knew he wasn't behind it, directly or indirectly. I wasn't even mad at him. Not questioned him, but I knew that cancer wasn't a rock or a snake either. And the Bible, all throughout it, talks about healing, 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 healing. You know, we live in a fallen world, and I don't know how I exactly got it. I have no idea. I'm not going to even check about it. I don't care. It doesn't matter. It's over. I do wonder if it's a pill that I was given down in South Africa for hormones. I do wonder that. But I don't know. God didn't do it. Our Father gives good things to His daughters, and that's exactly what that passage is saying. Some of you have been through tough things in life. How many of you have not had any tough things in life? I think there's no hand that might. Yeah, I don't think anybody. I think we all have. I really do. And you guys, just because we've given our life to God doesn't mean life is easy at all. It rather says, and I think, I don't know who said it today. Was it you? Someone talked about the storms of life today. I don't know which one. But again, it's God will get us through the storms. He doesn't bring them, but He'll get us through them. We've just got to trust and obey and believe Him for that. It's going to be difficult to have a loving and trusting relationship with a God who you believe is harming you for a mysterious person to teach you a lesson. He doesn't do that. So if you have that in your mind, you need to dismiss it and you need to say, I'm so sorry, God. And maybe you were taught that from the home you lived in. I don't know. But it's not truth. And like we said last night, we talked about truth. And that's what we're going to follow is Jesus, God, truth. We need to trust that God has defined good in His Word. And we accept that definition, that God is good in our life. He is sustaining. He is life-giving. He is good, and He feeds our souls. One with moral and spiritual excellence. Sin is bad, and it dishonors Him, and it hurts people. Eve's deception was that she refined good and harmful based on her deception. And no longer accepted God's definition. So she turned her back on God when she was, what is that word from about the snake? Tempted. When she was tempted by the snake. And so she followed Him instead of God. That messed everything up. James 1:16-17 says, "Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren." Okay. Even with that verse again. So again, depending on how you grew up, you might have deception that you just didn't know you had. Because that's what mom did. That's what dad did. That's why you also, when you go to church, you need to bring your Bible. I know there's screens, but you need to bring your Bible. You need to look at what the Bible says. And you need to recognize, whoa, my parents did that bad. That wasn't right, and I forgive them, but I'm going to need some help here. Okay? Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variation or shadow of turning. In the Message Bible, it says it this way. It says, there's nothing deceitful in God, nothing two-faced or fickle. The Father's character is expressed through the person of Jesus. And we have living proof about what God does and what He doesn't do. So we have that proof, but you've got to go see it for yourself. You've got to get into the Bible for yourself. You've got to talk to Him by yourself. You need to come to Bible school and learn and grow. And make those changes that are needed. It doesn't have to even be Raymond. It might be another school, okay? I think we're the best, but whatever. I do. I really do. But really, just go get the Word deep inside of you. Hebrews 1:1. Long ago, God spoke many times and in many ways to our ancestors through the prophets. And now in these final days, He has spoken to us through His Son. God promised everything to the Son as an inheritance. And through the Son, He created the universe. The Son radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God. And He sustains everything by the mighty power of His command. So again, He shows us accurately what our Heavenly Father looks like. John 1:14 said, "The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." Do you know, as parents, you know what you're supposed to give your kids? Grace and truth. Grace and truth. Do you know what you're supposed to give your friends? Grace And you got to get going on the truth side. No, but then they won't like me anymore if I tell them what you... You know what? You give truth because you love someone enough. You love them so much that you want to show them where they missed it so that they can bring change to their life. You even offer to say, and I'll help you with that. We've got to stop running away. Well, I'm going to say break up with me, even if it's a girl, but you know what I'm saying. But it's like, but what if they won't be my friend anymore? Well, that's their problem. Don't let it hurt your feelings. Okay? Love your friends enough to call them out. Love your workmates enough to call them out. I know about the nation. No, we don't confront. They don't like that word even. Was that the right word that we say that they don't like? Confront is like taboo. But confronting is good, and it's in the Bible. And I need people to come tell me things when I acted wrongly. Or someone even told me yesterday that they saw a booger in my nose. And I'm so grateful that they told me, because I'd be standing up here with a booger hanging out of my nose. but you need to do that. I know that's petty, but it's truth. Wouldn't you want someone to tell you before you got up on a stage or something? Or walk around all day with it? I tell men when their zippers are down. I do. I'd want to know that. Let's start practicing in here with each other. Okay. You can call. I'll call them to me. I'll just tell me whatever you want. I'll be fine. All right. John 1:14. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. Okay. Number two. My Father provides for me and sustains me. He provides for me and He sustains me. So I go to Him with everything. You know what I found out with my life is the things that I do good, and I was talking to someone about this today too, and I can't remember who that was either, but the things that I do good, I just keep doing them, and I've recognized how, okay, so I know I do that good, but if I would still stop and consult my Heavenly Father, how much more could the good I'm already doing go gooder? There's no such word, but, right? And so even the things that you do so well, hey, God, tell me more. Show me how I can make this prettier, or show me how I can do this better. Show me whatever I'm missing that can be done better. And that's one reason that our church has one of our values. Those of you who aren't from here, one of our values is excellence. And so we're trying to do everything that we do with excellence. And obviously we all have different guides of what excellence is, and mine's kind of over the top, so it scares the staff sometimes, but we're getting there. We are getting there. I hope you've enjoyed your time here. Sorry about the big lines. We're going to remedy that next year. Okay, right? I know that happens out there, but it's not supposed to happen here. We want to do it excellently. Does that make sense? Okay, because He's excellent. He never cuts a corner. Everything's perfect. He created an abundant world where my needs can be met. He created me with a mind and gave me wisdom. He gave you wisdom. He gave you a mind, and some of you need to use it. I'm really serious about that. If you're still waiting around for people to give you the next order, you're still a child. You've already got it in you, because God's in you. Those of you who have God in you, it's already in there. Use your mind. Here's another way you can start that. Whatever it is that you're going to go, whatever it is you're going to do, whoever is around you, you say, hey, what do you think it would be? Do you think it'd be good if I did this? And they say, yeah, why didn't you just already do it? But go. That's how you can do it instead of waiting for the order. Be proactive. He's in you. He'll show you how. And you can find friends and other people to show you how as well. Okay? Proverbs says that provision is linked to wisdom, work, and hustle. We're not going to walk like this. There was a lady years ago, I took her to South Africa because she needed some doctor stuff. And she'd never been on the airplane before. And so we were at the airport, and the only escalator in the country was at the airport at that time. And so, you know, I check in, she's right behind me, and then I get on the escalator, and she shouts, Pastor Haley, what is this thing? I kind of started laughing, and I ran down the up. And so got her on there, we're on the plane now. And I looked at her, I can't say her name, and I said to her, I said, now listen, when we get to Joburg, now you might feel like you're running. You're not really going to be running, but you got to walk faster than you are right now. This is not going to work. You're going to get trampled on. Okay? All right. I can't. But God can help us. People can help us grow. God's good. All right. Matthew 6:25-30. That is why I tell you not to worry about every day. Whether you have enough food, drink, clothes. Isn't life more than food? And your body more than clothing? I think we saved a lot of money on food last year. So I didn't have to eat any. It's so bad. Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to Him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? In the Message, it says, look at the birds, free and unfettered, not tied down to a job description, careless in the care of God. Careless in the care of God. That's how I felt last year. I just got to be with God. And you count far more than to Him than birds. Let's get our life to that place. That the time that we do get to have with Him, that it's getting everything out of us, getting it away, not being anxious, not thinking about what you got to do when you get to work or when the kids come home or doing this or doing that. But it's just you and God. Block everything else out. And you talking about living a new life when you can get that way with Him? Again, your whole life will change. And I said this, I think, last night, but I'm back here now and I'm battling it because the rat race is going again. And I've got to be, I'm conscientious about it, and I've got people that check on me with all that kind of stuff because it's so unhealthy. And I'm not going to get back to what it was, and I need to even move forward again. Verse 28. And why worry about your clothing? Let's say that one again. Why worry about your clothing? Let's get over that. Teresa, I don't know if you can do that though, right? Can you? She's like fashionista with this lady that doesn't care about, you know. I wore that outfit for y'all yesterday, not for me. It was for you. It started in Nigeria and it got finished here. And where is the lady that helped me? Is she here? What's her name? I forgot. Chuma, are you here? I don't even know if she's here. Are you here? Oh yeah, right there. She's a really good at making those clothes. Thank you so much. All right. Glad I remembered that. Okay. So let's go to Psalm 3:3-5. He sustains me. He sustains us. But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head. I cried to the Lord with my voice, and He heard me from His holy hill. I lay down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustained me. Do you believe that God can sustain you in all the yucky troubles that you have to go through? You think He can? Yeah. Yeah. And here's the thing. It's not to say that you're never going to go backwards a little bit. But here's what I hope you'll start seeing in your life. Kind of like my thing that I shared with you about the other day with Walker. It wasn't about him. It was all about me. But it's, let's get quicker at remedying. Let's get quicker at not sitting down and wallowing for 3 and 5 and a month. Like, let's start moving so that we're getting shorter and shorter and shorter. Like, how many of you women haven't, you know, you don't talk to your husband for 3 days because of whatever he did? That's so babyish, isn't it? If we think about it now when you're all happy, it's like, gosh, that was really dumb. Okay? So next time, at least take a step in. Make it 2 days and then 1 day and then, you know. Because we need to grow. We need to grow. We need to be walking towards a goal with stuff, things like that, okay? Number 3, my primary identity is daughter of God. That is my number one identity. Since we're not men, we're not sons, we're daughters, right? So that's our primary identity. And He loves me as His child. He loves you as His child. Romans 8:15-16 says, so you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's spirit. So His spirit is within you. When you said yes to your heavenly Father, His spirit came inside of you and He adopted you as His own child. Now we call Him Abba Father or Abba Father, for His spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. If I go back to that situation that happened a few days ago that I told you about, here's the whole thing with that again. And I did have my morning time that day, all right? I really did. But there were so many things going on and getting ready, and it was this, and it's a lot of other stuff too. But again, in that rat race again, it's like the morning never even happened, and then woo! It just all starts breaking down inside of me. I waited till I got home. It wasn't when I was here, but it was when I got home. Okay? But again, we know this. You kind of know when, like I really know every year that Kendall or whatever, we're living free. I go back and forth. Because then we go to Kendall, some of us. You know, and this year I'm speaking at Kendall. And it's like, oh. And for me to get sermons done in between everything else I do, it's hard for me. I'm not Walker. You know, it's hard. He's got things that are hard and I've got things that are hard. And it takes me a lot longer to get stuff like this ready. And so I know that, man, but the time, because what's happening every single day, it's like there's a crisis almost every day about something in a church. Isn't that weird? Because we should all be grown-ups and growth and all those things. But life happens. And so sometimes we've got to divert and do different things. And then, like I said, I'm being held accountable to have 1 day off for sure. You know, I cheated this week and I didn't take a day off. It's true. Don't tell them. All right. You can tell them. It's fine. All right. Sorry, I'm missing my places. Psalm 139. Love this verse. Oh, Lord, you have examined my heart and you know everything about me. You know he knows everything about you. This is why I said to you last night, if you sin and all you're doing is talking to God, it's still a big secret because no one on earth knows. But I guarantee you when you let an earth person know, there's freedom. There's freedom. You said it. You weren't happy that you did it, but you said it. And it's like, wow, they still love me like Jesus does. And it just makes all the difference in the world. So he knows everything about us. You know when I sit down, when I stand up. You know my thoughts even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it. That's kind of scary. You go before me and follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my heart, on my head, sorry. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. Soak that in right now. He calls you precious. Even though you just yelled at your husband before you left and you told all the kids that they were naughty and they needed to do this and that, you know what? He still loves you. And that's where we've got to find these friends in our life that still love us with all of our inadequacies. We've got to find them. And you can call them and say, man, I screwed up again today. I got a friend named Sharon. I call her. She lives in California. Well, let's talk about it. You know I'm here for you. Okay? We've really got to get over ourselves. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. If you haven't been to the beach, you don't know how much sand is there. But He loves us more than all the grains of the sand around the whole world. And when I wake up, you're still with me. So you are loved by God today, even just as you are right now, with all the flaws that are going through your head about yourself. He loves you deeply right now. Right now. There's nothing that you can do for Him to love you more. There's nothing that you can do for Him to love you less. He loves you. But that doesn't mean that we should stay where we are, right? We all want to change, and God also wants you to change for the better. Because all of us can get better. We all grew up in some kind of family. Some families were great and others weren't so great. All of us have many stories to tell. Some family trees, has anyone in here ever done a family tree of your natural family and written it all out? I wonder if that got thrown away when we all moved, because we had done one on your side a while back. But it's interesting to look at all that stuff, right? So we all grew... Some family trees are sturdy. Some are fragmented. We are all the product of our origins. All of us. Some of us love them. Some of us don't, right? But our earthly family trees, they're real. Whether they're good or bad, they're real. But here's the thing, is whether your earthly family tree is a great tree or a struggling tree, whether you're proud about where you came from or you're not 100% sure where you came from at all, then there's another tree in our story tonight. And it's called Calvary's tree. Calvary's tree. The cross in the middle of our story changes everything about who we are. It changes everything. It changes everything about where we came from. And this is the story of the gospel. And you know what? Myself, I was brought up mostly in a Christian family. My dad was saved. Mom eventually got saved when she was 30. Is that what you said? Yeah. But I grew up mostly in a Christian home. But just because you grow up in a Christian home also doesn't mean that it was perfect at all. Right? But even so, even if you did grow up in this Christian home, and that tree that goes back to so many ancestors behind, the bigger family tree that we get engrafted into when we say yes to God, right? That's who we are today now. And truly, we need to put this family over your, the natural family. I don't know what the right way to say that is, but does that make sense? Okay. And with that, a Christian said something earlier too about about going to funerals. And I was listening to that and I was thinking, oh my gosh, that was a big thing to say. Because I know y'all in your funerals just like she does, you know. And I remember the first time when we moved up here, it was like, you mean like every funeral and da, 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 da. And it's like, and then in class I talk about, why do you really go? Yeah, the food, the this, the that. Mooching food, you know. And also, you know, we decided that Rhema students can't go to the funeral till after class because this is more important. It is. But they can still go after, but they can't come to school after. Okay? But again, which family are you really seeing yourself in? And are you still listening to Grandpa and his deep ancestors that he's telling you about, and you better do that too? Or are you pulling out your Bible? And what does the Bible say about that? Which one of those trees are you honoring? Yes, we still honor our natural parents. We don't obey them, like I said earlier. But you, and thankfully my mom's in this family too, and so is my sister, and you know, like, but this is the family that we need to be doing more with. Am I messing with your heads? Because I know your family members that aren't saved aren't going to like that. But that's really what's in the Bible to do. Ephesians 5:1 says, be imitators of God as dearly loved children. Question for you is, when you're around your unsaved family members or your saved family members that still act like sinners, are you being an imitator of God? Or do you not want them to see that because they're going to blast you for it? Because they need to know the real you. And why are you denying God and putting them before God? Something to think about. You now have a new family tree and you've been taken out of the family of sin and now in the family of God. You have the Father's blessing in your new family. That's where the blessing comes from. And that's where your upbringing didn't come up so right. You can still get the help you need through the bypass or through other Christians that can help lead you and guide you and help you to grow where you didn't get growth. And they'll turn everything around and you can still love mom and dad who didn't do what they were supposed to do. You can still do that. Your old family tree, whether it was good or bad, is limited in comparison to the new spiritual DNA. The new family tree includes Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and believers in Christ. Its love is as wide as heaven, its ocean of God's grace, passion, and kindness speaking over your life. It's like living under Victoria Falls. That's why we have that picture up there, or through the whole thing. We've got great graphic artists here. It's so wonderful. You can't do anything to stop that waterfall of God's great love from showering down on you. And if you haven't been to Vic Falls and experienced that, you need to go see that. Okay? If you're a Zambian, you've got to go there before you die. I guess you can see it from heaven, but go experience while you're on this earth. It's just an amazing place. And it really is a great example of how much God just pours His love over us. And you're hurting. I'm in that bed and I'm hurting. But God who kept me and loved me so much, or I wouldn't have been standing here today. You've got to experience that love. Its love is as wide as heaven. It's an ocean of God's grace and passion. You can't do anything to stop that waterfall of God's great love from showering down on you. You are born again into a brand new family. We're not going to get it right with making good decisions 100% of the time. We're just not. Sometimes we're going to still do foolish things. But we are still the children of a perfect Heavenly Father. And I'd even say it this way. Stop looking at the people around you, even that know God. Stop making them your heroes and your, the one, you know, learn from them. But the big guy, God Himself, remember who He is. That's who we're supposed to imitate. Imitate? Is that the right word? Okay, number four. I respond to Him. Are you responding to your Heavenly Father? When you get down, when you get mad, when you get agitated and irritated, and are you talking to your Heavenly Father? And the other night when I went and got in bed, that's what I did do. I was only there for 3 minutes before Walker came. But that's what I was doing. I said, God, I'm so sorry. I'm acting like a baby right now. And I'm embarrassed about myself right now. And my mom's out there and she was just looking at the table because we were sitting down to eat. And I was like, ah, you know. And then Walker came and I told him sorry. Did I tell you sorry? Maybe. Yes, I did. She said, yes, I did. Yeah. But here's the thing. Get quicker about it. Let's don't stay in that yuck place. It's not good to be there. 1 John 4:16 says, and we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God. And God in Him. So if God is living in us, just another question for you to ponder, what are people seeing in you? What are they seeing in you? And you know what? Like if someone calls you out on something, don't say, hey, I'm a Christian, so that's not right. What does that being a Christian mean? What does that have to do with anything? Don't keep defending yourself. Just be truthful. Be truthful. The NLT says, we know how much God loves us and we have put our trust in His love. When we live with a deep awareness of His love, things change. I trust Him. I trust His love. And I trust His ways for me. I obey Him. He's good and His ways are good. I always go back to He loves me. He is good. He provides. And I'm His daughter. I'm His daughter. Do you know that you're His daughter? That was really weak. But do you believe it? Yeah. And He doesn't want to hurt you. He doesn't want to do bad things to you. He is there for you so that you can move forward. I'm going to show y'all a video real quick. Well, it's not real quick, but it's pretty quick. About the woman at the well. And those who have watched in The Chosen, you've probably seen this before. But it depicts an encounter from John 4. Where Jesus met a Samaritan woman, and I don't know if they can turn the lights down too. Somebody at the back, if y'all can do a light. Yeah, thanks. But I think, just think, as you watch this, just think about yourself and like kind of where you are right now and then where this woman was. I'm sure you've all read it before, but just to watch this, it's amazing. And then we'll wrap it up.
Give me a drink. Did you hear me?
That's bad, huh?
What?
You, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a Samaritan, and a woman.
I'm sorry. I should have said please.
You know, it's not safe for you to be alone out here.
Nor you. Why haven't you come with others? Why so late in the day? Don't women come to the wells in the cool of the morning?
Yeah, well, none of them will be seen with me, so I have to come up here in the heat. You have so kindly reminded me.
Why won't they be seen with you?
Long story.
I'd still like a drink of water if you can spare it.
Amazing what a parched throat will do. Aren't I unclean to you? Won't you be defiled by this vessel?
Maybe some of my people say that about your women, but I don't.
Yeah? And what do you say?
I say if you knew who I am, you'd be asking me for a drink.
Really?
And I would give you living water.
Would? Except that you have nothing to draw water with, and this is a deep well. Besides, what do you need from me if you have your own supply of living water?
Long story.
But Jewish water is better than Samaritan water. Hmm?
That's not what I said.
Are you a better man than our ancestor Jacob, who dug this well? Your water is better than his?
I know Jacob. And everyone who drinks this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks the water that I give him will never be thirsty again.
Wouldn't that be nice?
The water I give will become in a person a spring of water welling up to eternal life.
Really?
Yes, really.
Prove it.
First, go and call your husband and come back. I will show you both.
I don't have a husband.
You are right. You've had 5 husbands. And the man you're living with now is not your husband.
Oh, I see. You're a prophet. You're here to preach at me.
No.
Usually the one good thing about coming here alone is I can escape being condemned.
I'm not here to condemn
you. I've made mistakes. Too many. But it's men like you who have made it impossible for me to do anything about it.
How?
Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain. But you Jews insist Jerusalem is the only place for true worship.
They say that because the temple is there.
Exactly where we're not allowed.
I'm here to break those barriers. And the time is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father.
So, where am I supposed to go when I need God? I've never received anything from God, but I couldn't thank him even if I did.
Anywhere. God is spirit. And the time is coming and is now here. That it won't matter where you worship, but only that you do it in spirit and truth. Heart and mind, that is the kind of worshiper he's looking for. It won't matter where you're from, nor what you've done. Do you believe what I'm telling you?
Until the Messiah comes and explains everything and sorts this mess out, including me, I don't trust in anyone.
You're wrong when you say that you've never received anything from God. This Messiah you speak of, I am he. The first one was named Ramin. You were a woman of purity who was excited to be married. But he wasn't a good man. He hurt you. And it made you question marriage and even the practice of your faith.
Stop.
The second was Farzad. On your wedding night, his skin smelled like oranges. And to this day, every time you pass by the oranges in the market, you feel guilty for leaving him. Because he was the only truly godly man you've been with. But you felt unworthy.
Why are you doing this?
I have not revealed myself to the public as the Messiah. You are the first. It would be good if you believed me.
You picked the wrong person.
I came to Samaria just to meet you. Do you think it's an accident that I'm here in the middle of the day?
I am rejected by others.
I know. But not by the Messiah.
And you know these things because you are the client. I'm going to tell everyone.
I was counting on it.
Spirit and truth.
Spirit and truth.
It won't be all about mountains or temples.
Soon, just the heart.
You promise?
I promise.
This man told me everything I've done. Oh, he must be the Christ!
Hey, wait! You what? You forgot your
Fancy, a man who told me everything I ever did!
Isn't that amazing? So amazing. And all that sin that she had, and then she was the first one that Jesus came and shared who he was. And I love her laughter at the end. It's like, that's how much he loves us, though. It's how much he loves us. And how I want to end tonight with you guys is there's a great prayer in Ephesians 3. And I'm just going to pray it over you. And we'll see whatever else God wants to do after that. But just let's just put our heads down and just listen to this prayer.